back?
Hmm?
You got yours back?
No, before it's
okay. So we had a Shaila last week, and you're going to give me the answer because I gave you lots of time to think about it. Let's repeat the Shaila that came. Was this Bokar Reuven that had the suggestion of a Shidduch for his friend Shimon? Shadchanus for Shimon. So he made the suggestion, and Shimon was interested. So was the other side. But Reuven said, I'm a Bokar. I don't want to run the whole process of the ins and outs, speaking backwards and forwards between the two parties. It's not Matim, it's not for me. I'm a Bokar in Yeshiva. Look, I introduced the idea. If it works, I'll get the money for the introduction, which is a third, but I don't want to take anything out. I don't want to continue with the Shadchanus at this stage. Go find somebody else who's going to complete the process. Okay. So Shimon was looking for somebody who was Matim to be the in-between person, and he couldn't find anybody. So he decided that he himself was going to be the Shadchan. He's got a good voice that can impersonate different people, and so therefore in the process of the shidduch, he phoned up after every time he went out as representing this phantom shadchan with a different voice, speaking to the other parties and saying, no, how's things going? Yes, yes, we can arrange things, we can change things, yeah, we can manipulate everything. And he worked very hard as a shadchan. And he was matzliach in the shidduch. The end, he married and was engaged to the girl. Okay.
Until she found out what he is.
No. The mechutzen, of course, at the time of the tanoim, of the engagement, you're supposed to say shadchanis. So he was looking for this phantom shadchan he owes money to. He couldn't find him. So he went up to the new chassan and said, you must know the shadchan who was in between us. Here's an envelope of the money. You go and give it to him. Okay. So now he comes with a shaila like this, two shailas. How much money myself do I have to pay to Reuven, my friend? Because if he's only the starting person, then he only gets a third. But if he's considered that he did the whole shadchanus, because there's no other shadchan involved, then he gets everything. So how much do I have to pay him? They say the shadchanus is $1,500. Do I have to pay him only $500? Or I have to myself pay him $1,500 for the work he did for me as a shadchan? If he's the only one, he gets $1,500. But if he's only the beginning, he gets only $500. How much do I pay Reuven, my friend? That was one shayla. And on that, we saw last week, and determined that even if you just introduce, and it's a very hard deal that the parties themselves have to work it out to finish off the deal. With a lot of negotiation backwards and forwards, and it wasn't easy, it took a few months, you still, at the end of the day, if there's a shidduch that's made, you don't just pay for the introduction, you pay for the whole shadchanus, you get the whole shadchanus. Whenever there's no other shadchan involved, it's just the parties involved, then he gets the whole shadchan. Okay. So therefore we defined and solved his first shayla. For sure Shimon has to pay $1,500 to Reuven, because even though Reuven just introduced him to the other party, but there was no other shadchan was needed to make the shidduch. So therefore Reuven, in the end of the day, was the shadchan in respect to Shimon. And therefore Shimon has to pay for the whole shadchan.
Just for suggesting two names.
Yes. Not suggesting, and actually introducing. Just phoned up both parties. Okay. Now, we have the second shayla, which we haven't decided yet, and you were supposed to think about it. Second shayla like this. The mechutzen gave me an envelope of $1,000. He already paid $500 to Reuven for the introduction, because as far as he's concerned, there's two shadchans over here, Reuven who introduced, and this phantom shadchan that finished it off, which he can't find. So he said, okay, Reuven, you get $500 for introducing, and the other $1,000 which I owe to the other shatter. Can't find him. What do I do? I gave it to the chosen. He'll know how to find him. So now the chosen comes and asks the shayla. I'm the other shatter. Can I keep the $1,000? Or not?
Not. Even though we're saying Reuben is owed the money.
Reuben owes $1,500. The Mechutzen owes $1,500.
To somebody.
Yeah, the Mechutzen owes $1,500 for Shatchanus. He thinks there's two Shatchanus of them. Reuben, who is a Jew, and this other one who was in between. So therefore, $500 goes to Reuben, which he pays. $1,000, what does he do? Can't find it. He gives it to the Chosen, says, you go find. Now the Chosen comes and says, the Mechutzen doesn't know, but I'm the other Shatchanus. Can I keep the $1,000?
He's a Baal Damer. He's the party.
So?
But he did the work for Reuben.
For himself.
So that depends.
The Chosen
if he did the work for himself, then he's not entitled to Shachanis. If he did the work for the Mechutzen, then he is entitled to Shachanis. What's this case? Did he do the work for himself, or did the work for the Mechutzen? What's the case?
He did it for himself.
He did it for himself. So therefore he can't. Okay. So now the shayla is, does he have to give the money back to the Mechutzen? Or does he pass it on to Reuven?
Well, let me ask you, the Mechutzen already paid Reuven?
Paid Reuven $500.
And what did Reuven say?
Didn't say anything. There's another shatkin involved. Okay, it's another shatkin involved. So only entitled to $500?
Oh, that's what he said.
Yes?
But he did get $1,500 from Shimon, so he really suspected
it. He didn't get anything at the moment. This is the shayla together. Yes?
So it goes through.
Yeah, Reuven should get it.
The shayla now is, Mechutzen owes $1,500. He gave $500 to Reuven. The $1,000, who does he give it to? We already established he doesn't give it to the Chosen himself because the Chosen wasn't working for him. Yeah, it wasn't working, does it? So, should he go, the rest of the $1,000 should go to Reuven since he was the only Shatran in the end of the day? Or do we say, no, Reuven's only entitled to $500? And the other $1,000 now goes back to the Mechutzen.
Reuven gets it. It's like any
does
other case.
Does Reuven get it? Why is this not like the other case that we can have a shayla? We said, the Chosen, since he is not a shatran, he's the Baal Dover Lane. He only had one shatran, so then of course he has to pay the whole shatran, even though it's just the introduction, $1,500. But this case, we're saying, maybe different, maybe it's the same. The Mechutzen, did he have one shatran, or did he have two shatran?
One.
Did he have one shatran, or did he have two shatran?
One.
One.
And a very clever chosen.
Right. He was a chosen doing his hashtagos, like every chosen would do.
What needs rectifying? What you worried about?
Another method of trying to convince her to say yes. It's all the same thing.
Different strategy.
That's it.
Reuven certainly doesn't deserve it.
You weren't here for the last.
No, Reuven doesn't deserve. I'm saying he didn't do the full.
There's no other shot.
We say in respect to the chosen, even though Reuven just introduced, he still gets the whole thing from Shimon. Shimon has to pay, the chosen has to pay Reuven the whole. Because even though it was introduced and he had to do a lot of work, but that's like with everything. Yeah, sometimes you need 1 second, sometimes it takes a long time of negotiation between the two parties. But if at the end of the day there's a lachayim, then the shatran, even if he did 1 second of work, gets the whole piece. Yes? So that's the relationship between the chosen and Reuven the shatran. But what's this? Why?
Pardon? It's only if there's nobody else involved.
Yes, no one else involved. So
there's someone else
involved. No, not the
He's
the chosen.
Chosen's always involved.
Yes. Chosen speaking to the Kalu always, Sam. He's marrying me, all those things. Yes. Without him, there wouldn't be a shidduch. Yeah. So he's always needed for the shidduch. Yeah. But still, you pay the shadchanus the whole amount of money. So that's why Shimon has to pay Reuven the whole amount of money. But how do we look in respect to the Mechutzen? Do we look at the Mechutzen? Yes. Shimon's not entitled because he's the Baal Dover. He's working for himself. But maybe Reuven's not entitled. I'm asking, why am I saying over here we've got more of a suffix than the other case? I'm telling you, there is room for more. So I'm not saying that let's say the halakha would be different. I'm saying, is there room for more of a suffix in this case to say Reuben doesn't get here the whole shalchanus and the money goes back to the mechutzen and all the mechutzen has to pay Reuben's $500 over here?
There's room for more of a suffix, but...
Why? Now, the question is, why is there room for more of a suffix over here? Like you're all saying, yes? If there's only one shot, can you pay the whole piece?
Because from the Putin's perspective, this fake shot then did do a service for his daughter. I mean, not for Shimon, for his daughter, a service was done. So you have a hobby to think that maybe, therefore, there is a chiyuv for him to this fake shot then deserves for his daughter. But I think the maskana, we still say, since it is the chaser at the end of the day, that Reuben still gets it.
I think only a corrupt mind could have such a Havamina.
I think so. Havamina is
We could look at it like this. Really, Shimon should get the shot for this. Because he worked as a shotgun in convincing the other side to move forward. And it wasn't good enough for Reuben's introduction to do the deal, and another person was needed called Shimon to get involved. But the reason why Shimon doesn't get the shot on is because of a technicality. What's the technicality? I do work for you, and I'm working hard to help you, but I'm not doing it for payment. Well, that's the reason why Shimon doesn't get the money from the Mechutin. Because I'm working to help you, I'm giving you a benefit, but I do it not for payments, I do really want my payments in order that I get married. But I do the job, it's a job for free. So if that's how we look at it, then we've got two people who got the job. It's like to say, what would be the halacha? You had the shatzen introduce the two parties. What? And then you had another shatzen come in and say, okay, I'll be the shatzen, and you know what? I'm doing it for free. It's my zechus. I don't want to get paid for this shatzchonis. I'm going to do it for free. What's the halach in such a case? Does he pay all 1,500 to Reuven introduce in such a case? Because the maitzah, Shimon is not getting money because he's doing it for free. Or do we say, no, there's two shatzchonis over here. Reuven wasn't good enough. You need another one. The other one is, so to speak, not asking for wages. And therefore, only pay 500. What's the halakha in such a case?
Only 500.
Of course, you only pay 500. Because I got two shatzchonim. One wanted money. One did it for free. The one did it for free is doing me a service and saying, you owe me 1,000, but I'm letting you off. And the first one is saying, I did your service, but the service I entitled to get 500. Because there's another shatzchonim involved. So everyone understands in that case, for sure Reuben only gets 500. So the shine is over here. How do we look at it? The chosen is doing a service. He is doing a service for the mechutzen to convince him to marry him. But he's saying, I'm doing your job, but I don't want payment. And therefore, what do we look at the big picture? Two shatzchonim were involved. One was doing it as introduction for money. The other shatzchon, i.e. the chosen himself, was doing it a job for the guy, for the mechutzen, but in order not to get paid in money, and therefore Reuben's only entitled to $500. There's room
money
to suggest that here that Reuben is only entitled to $500, and therefore the $1,000 which he gave to the chosen to pass on doesn't need to pass on. He just gives it back to the mechutzen.
When did he say he doesn't want money?
Because the halacha says he's not entitled to money.
Oh, he's not entitled to it. It's not the same thing as
therefore, I'm saying, we're comparing.
No, you can't say
we're comparing.
It's mine.
I want to compare. Then you've got two shots on him. One doing it for money, one doing it for free. Where, of course, you only pay $500 for the first one. It's similar in this case, where you've got two shots on him. One doing introduction, the other working, but not getting paid at the end of the day, because halachi is not title, because he didn't do it for money, because he's not doing it to give a service, he's doing it for himself. Whenever you do it for yourself, you don't get paid. Yeah, so there's room to think they should give back the $1,000. So let's look. So we saw that there is, but only if it's two separate jobs, like last week. Not one puller, and you can't expect, you can't say, I'm doing one job for him and me. You can do one activity which creates two results, two separate results, and get paid for it. One for yourself, one for him. But one job, one result, you either do it for yourself, you do it for him. You do it for yourself, you're not entitled to get money. So, Sefer Teresvi says like this. In and Matzkilim Heim Ruchukim, if the ones who introduce the Shidduch are not relatives, they want Shachbonus. B'Shat HaGamah Alokech HaBaldin Krovim, but to finish off the Shidduch, he took relatives to finish off the Shidduch. Shanigmah HaShidduch Ein LaHakrovim Klum B'Shat Chonus. The relatives don't get anything, and I've missed out on a few words, which are important. And you have to pay the whole Shatronas to the ones who weren't relatives.
Why don't relatives get anything?
So we see from this halacha that even in the case where one party involved is doing a job, he's finishing off the shidduch, but he's not entitled to get money for it because relatives are considered like the party himself, and just as the party can't take money, the relatives of the party can't take money because they're doing it for themselves, they're not doing it for other people, so therefore they're not entitled relatives to get the shadchanis. Where does the shadchanis go? The shadchanis all goes to the one who introduced.
How do you define relatives? First cousin, second cousin, third cousin, what's
close enough relatives that they're doing it because of I want my relative to get married.
They're not even accomplished that price from the party they're related to?
No, because they're doing it for only their side.
What's wrong with that?
No, because they're not entitled to it. Unless she speaks out first beforehand, that I'm doing it as for payments.
Best friends would be different?
Yes, best friends would be different.
Best friends would be entitled to get payment. Yes. You know he's doing it for him. He's saying, I want to help my friends.
If he says I'm doing it for free, then he doesn't get payment.
Okay, but the relative doesn't, even the relative doesn't say I'm doing it for free, he still can't collect money?
Correct. Doesn't get. Maybe he speaks out I'm doing it for payment before.
Of course. So the question is, what's the status quo now?
What is the status quo? But we see from here, which is what's the halacha. They got two people involved, one introducing the shidduch, one finishing off the shidduch. And if one finishing off the shidduch doesn't get paid because he's considered one of the parties involved, then all the shadchanis goes to the one introduced. So therefore, the $1,000 which the chosen's got to pass on, he doesn't have to be embarrassed to go back to Mechutzen and say, here's $1,000 because I tricked you into thinking there is a son, but really it's me. He can actually pass that $1,000 on, not to the Majni Shadchan, which is what the Mechutzen thought there was of, but to the one introduced, which is called Reuven. You can just give it over to Reuven. If that would be the halacha, then he would have to be in a clever way of getting back the money. But lying is not permitted.
Okay? Well, he's been doing that all along.
Now he's asking Shaitis. Now, let us now start with a Din Torah. A very common Din Torah, as we'll see, has snowballs into not so common Din Torah. Let's start with a Shiloh conservation, like this. You've got an agent who phones up to you and says, I hear you're looking to buy an apartment. I've got the perfect apartment for you. And he tells him all the details. The flat, the area, and also the address and the contact details of the other side. Okay. person answers, yeah, sounds very good. I'm interested. So exactly, you're right. This is what I'm looking for. This is in the, I'm interested in this. Okay? A few hours later, he gets a phone call, again, from a different agent. And also goes through the same process. Ends up being that second agent is also introducing the same apartment. So we've had now two agents introducing the same apartment. Now, for some reason, he goes with the second agent.
Not very smart.
Because maybe has a relationship from previous times with the second agent more than the first agent.
I understand that, but you should know that the first agent gets the money.
He goes with the second agent. Yeah. And the deal's closed. And now in Basin. Why in Basin? Both agents in Basin said, you owe me money. Hey, why do I owe you money? Because I'm the one who told you of the property first. You owe me money. Okay, somebody else came after us, but I was first. I was the one who introduced you to the idea of this property which you bought. This second one came up afterwards. If he did anything, then okay, we're going to split the chance from the agent fees. But if he didn't do anything more than the introduction, then I am the introduction. I get everything. But either I get everything, me, Reuben, the first agent should get everything, if nothing, if Shim and the second agent didn't really do anything more, he just gave the same idea. Or I should at least split the agent fees I introduced and he finished up.
But
to get nothing, I shouldn't get anything.
I thought splitting was only by Shimonis.
Or serve agents. If their second agent was needed to make the deal happen. Yeah? Introduction wasn't good enough. There were still issues which the second agent smoothed over. He's also entitled then, in such a case, to some agent fees.
Yes?
Yes, and Shimon took him to the actual apartment.
Oh, he took him there? First guy took him there?
No, Shimon took him.
So he didn't do anything, it's just an idea of Alma.
Idea of Alma with all the details. Now, no signing. Halacha doesn't require signing. If I do service for you, you have to pay. Now, the question is, did Reuben, the first question I'm asking the Olam tonight, based on your knowledge of all the shim up to now, did Reuben do anything to entitle to get agent fees, even if there was no other agent involved? Let's say Shimon never came along, he gave the details, and the person himself contacted the other party and he bought the house. Is Reuben, the first agent, entitled to agent fees by just phoning up, telling him all the details of the property and the contact information, but not actually taking him over that? Is he entitled to agent fees? Let's say.
No. As long as he didn't know about the apartment at the time that he called, then he's entitled.
I'm only saying no. I have to be addressed specifically, but all the shit-up case we dealt with involved the beginning agent at least calling both parties. Here he's only speaking to one party, and if me on my own or me with agent have to go to the other party, maybe he's not entitled.
So who am I doing a job for?
Myself.
No.
Now who?
The agent.
Works for one side, not for both sides.
The agent, okay, if he doesn't speak to the other side, if he spoke to one side, he should be entitled to all agent fees from one side. And kachalocha, if an agent speaks to you on the phone and gives you enough information to be called a connection, meaning the position of the property, the makeup of the property, the price that's being suggested of the property, and how to contact the other side to get involved in, if you're interested in, involved in the deal, then that's good enough to already consider a connection, and if it's then bought afterwards, you owe all the agents.
Isn't that why the
in the newspaper, and the two agents, they see the newspaper.
one agent.
No, 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 no. That's called exclusivity. That's if you have a special contract, but it's not normal. People don't like to give an exclusive to one agent because then they're cutting themselves from the other agent's off. They like to, people generally don't like to give an exclusive. And here we're talking about the buyer. There's no such thing as exclusive by the buyer. So normally it's good enough. So now we introduce that Reuben did that. And now Shimon came a few hours later and gave the same contact information, the same idea, and he took him to the palace. Who is entitled in such a case?
I think both of them are entitled, because he engaged Shimon. Reuben was entitled by virtue of the fact he gave him the information. So he's asked to give him. Shimon, he's entitled because he asked him to do it for him.
So, does he pay double agent fees?
Yeah.
Or does he pay, I got 2%, I'll give you 1%, and he'll give you
1%? No, I think it's double agent fees.
Between the initial introduction and then the negotiation?
An initial introduction usually gets a third of the agent fees, and somebody is needed to finish it off and smooth off other things, usually gets two-thirds.
So, was Shimon needed here to do that?
He was needed to show in the apartment, maybe to...
That Reuben could have done that too.
Okay, he could have. But he didn't.
That's all he did.
Only because he didn't ask him to.
He didn't negotiate in anything else.
You have both scenarios in Basin. So tell me, in the case where Shimon didn't add anything more than the introduction, and then he took him around, and tell me where he actually had to work.
Doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter.
Either way, Shimon should get two-thirds.
Shimon, who knows? Reuben.
The second.
Shimon will get two-thirds, and Reuben should get...
One-third.
Why should he get a
little work. Some shidduchim are easier, some are harder.
He didn't have to do any negotiating
work. He brought him over. That's nothing. But he didn't.
That's what he did. Well, he didn't tell him to.
The difference is, it's a difference from the first case is it's not a baldabra. This is a separate.
Who didn't do anything? The first one or the second one?
The second one didn't do anything.
If the second one didn't do anything, then the Reuben should get everything.
He did something.
Agreed.
Yeah, in life, you pay for things that people don't do either. That's enough to call doing. That's how much it is. That's a laugh we called doing. You did? Yeah, are you interested? Yes, I'm interested. You were interested. I was interested.
Interested in the property, not necessarily interested in the realtor. You know, some realtors charge lower commissions, some realtors are nicer. There are a lot of reasons why you choose a realtor. Trustworthiness for negotiations.
Okay. Eric doesn't believe in the whole concept of agents. None of us around here are agents. We need to get an agent to come to our shir. Then he'll be able to fight with Eric. They say, I do do things. It's good enough. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says like this. You tell me what you think about this. Whoa. Reuben, how you look by Slimka. Reuben had a house to sell. Ubar Shimon. Came along Shimon, a broker, Shimon, and he said, Limka the Levi, you know, you got a house, I'm a broker, sell it to Levi. On the roof, Reuben says, Levi? So no! He's my enemy, I will never sell him anything. And he wrote to Limka. He did the Rosh, now he's in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't want to sell it to him. Then what happens in the follow-up of the story? Machwa the Levi! He did sell it to Levi, though it was his enemy. I didn't say Acha. We're using another agent. What's the halacha? Chayiv litin l'shimen silsur. He chayiv to pay the first agent the whole agent fees. Why? Because it's Ayatay Romoso, because he tricked him. When he said to him, I hate him, it wasn't true. He was lying when he said he hated him. All he was saying that was just to get rid of the first agent, and he wanted to take the second agent. If you do that, and you do buy it, sell it in the end, you still have to pay all the agent fees to the first agent because you tricked him.
In our case, no remorse.
So, so Chef Yaakov asked a question. Like, you're very good. Yeah. Chef Yaakov asked a question. I don't understand! Why do we care whether he was tricked or not tricked? Even if he wasn't tricked. Yeah, at the time, he didn't like him. Good idea. He's a good customer. But I hate him, I'm not going to send him because I don't like the guy. Yeah. Okay. And then the end of the day, you use another agent that she sent him because you changed your mind. Now you do like the guy.
Then they would split the fees. Yeah. That's why.
Why do we say to Chef Yaakov, listen to his kasha? Why do we say in such a case, if it's not trickery, then the first guy gets nothing?
Nothing?
Nothing! He's only entitled to Shatranis if it's trickery. But if it's not trickery, then even though it was introduced by the first guy, he gets nothing.
Doesn't say that here.
That's implicit, says the Chef Yaakov from the Shulchanot. He gets Shatranis because it's trickery. He doesn't get shots from this if it's not tricky. Doesn't get shots from this.
That's a big jump.
No big jump. He gets shots from this if there's trickery.
And he gets part shots from this if there's no trickery.
No. Doesn't say.
Where does it say? Does the Shulchanot mention trickery? What?
Well,
does the Shulchanot mention trickery?
So?
The Chef Yaakov asked, I don't stand. If it wasn't tricky, he introduced him. He did something. Why are you not giving him anything? That's his question. So he says like this. Chiddush, he says. What's the chiddush? If all the first guy is doing is bringing an idea, he's not actually creating the bonds. He's not actually gluing the parties together. All he's doing is giving a possibility of a bond, an idea, which is good enough for Shatronis if you give an idea and it's naturally bonded afterwards by the two parties themselves, then you do get Shatronis. But all he did was give an idea, and somebody else came along and said, without the knowledge that there was already a Shatron involved, he comes along and says, I've got an idea! And it happens to be the same idea as the first guy. And then he says, here's my idea. And then he not only gives an idea, the second guy, but actually bonds the parties together. Then the first guy's not entitled to anything.
So that might be our case.
Why? Why is he not entitled to anything? Because an idea gets shatronis is a chiddush in the first place. I would think you only get shot bonus or agent fees if you bond people together. I try and stick you together, I convince you to buy, I convince you to do anything. But if I don't do anything, all I do is say, here's an idea, maybe it'll work, maybe it doesn't. It's a chiddush you get shot bonus. Yeah, you say, you do get shot bonus. You do get shot bonus in such a case. Yes?
Today, the equal function of a broker is to provide you with the information.
So when the second guy comes along and says, I've got the same idea, which I didn't know from the first agent, he's saying, look, here's an idea. Don't pay the first guy. Why? Because the whole key of a paying is only if the first guy did a service for you. The idea is no more. You didn't get any benefit from the idea, because I would have come along with the idea in any case after 2 hours. What did you gain from his idea? How did his idea create the sale at the end of the day? You bought the house, correct? How did the first guy's introduction help buying the house? Did it help buying the house, the first guy's introduction?
Well, how did your introduction
even without the first guy ever coming along, you would have bought the house. Why? Because I came up with the same idea.
I can say the same thing about the second guy.
I came up with the same idea.
I can say the same thing about the second guy. I didn't need you. I already had the idea from him.
So, what we see from here, it depends. Yes. If the second guy comes on just with an idea, like the first guy, and both of them are claiming Shatronis, not because of bonding, but just because of the idea. So he says, the idea was provided by somebody. The bonding wasn't provided by anybody, but the parties themselves. So the Shatronis is only for the idea. So of course, who do you pay for? Pay The first one he gave the idea, or the second again the idea? Who do you pay in such a case? First one, because he gave birth to the idea. But if the first one gave an idea, but second one came along and said, there's an idea, and it's not going to go naturally with the idea. I have to get involved and actually bond you together. So, I did actually create the sale, and why should the first guy get anything? The first guy should get anything for the idea. Taking the whole idea away, you still would have got the house. Of course, even if he wouldn't come up with the idea, I would have come up with the idea. I'm the bonds, I'm the idea, I'm the glue as well, and you still would have bought the house. So therefore you're not entitled to, the first guy's not entitled to anything in such a case, because he didn't benefit the sale at all.
So how does Ron Moyes change that? How does the fact that he cheated change that?
Lamarche changes it.
And then he did benefit.
Exactly.
He got the idea from him, and he then calls the next broker and says, here's the idea I have.
No, he didn't call the next broker. The next broker called him.
Moshe says, Gorgeous, you're not allowed to stop somebody who's already working for you. This to break up with you. Find you to potentially...
Oh, but that has nothing to do with Lamarche.
Yeah, because Lamarche, that's why he pushed him away.
No, let's say he told him outright, I don't like you, I don't want to use my friend. There's no Lamarche at all.
Not him. The remorse. I don't like the guy I'm trying to sell to.
Who's he being Mirame?
I'm Mirame the agent by saying I don't like the guy who you want me to
sell to. I understand. What's the difference if I'm Mirame him or not?
Because Stopping finishing the job because of some remorse that I have up my sleeve, but he's got the ability to do it.
What's the difference if I tell him I hate the guy or I tell him I hate you?
Who says it's different?
If I hate you, I'm not a rabbi. I think I don't want you to be my broker.
Why don't you like him? Because you don't think he's going to do a good job?
No, I don't like him because he parks in my driveway.
Yeah, you're not going to get on. He's not going to be a good agent.
There's nothing to do with remorse, though.
No, that is to do with remorse.
That's not remorse. It's just
remorse means there's nothing wrong with going on with the first agent. And the only reason why I don't want to take the first agent is because I want to get somebody else involved, either because the other guy's going to do free for me, or the other guy's my best friend. And therefore, that's called remorse.
There's nothing to do with deception, though. I mean, that's how remorse is.
Anyway, so what are we concluding with from here? That if you're just giving an idea, you only get paid for it if the idea benefits the sale. But if, even without the idea, the sale would have gone through, then you don't get paid. The idea was the sale. The second agent gave it and also gave the idea. So even if the first guy wouldn't have had the idea, you still would have bought it because of the second guy.
When you say you're not remorse, you just say, thank you very much, I don't think this is going to work. If you want to work with a different agent, is that remorse or no? That's okay.
No, that's called remorse. Because why do you want to work with the other agent? He's your best friend. Because you want to give him panosa. That's called remorse. You're pushing away the first guy where he could possibly do the deal for the benefit of the second guy.
Now, if the second guy didn't have the idea, then the first guy is entitled?
Yes. Yes. The clown is, the payment is because you benefited me. What? You benefit? With you? Because of you, I bought it. Look. If you are just an idea, forget your idea. Take your idea away. I still support it. Because the second guy had the idea.
Multiple shadchanim come up with a name often. You can choose which shadchan you want to go with that name. Like in a day, you can get three calls to three different shadchanim with the same name for your kid. So, what? I can just decide, you know what, I like this shadchan.
No, because of, unless it's remorse.
Why
do you want the second one rather than the first one?
Because they do a better job.
They do a better job for the actual job involved, then you can choose the second one. And, but, if there's a slight chance that the first one not only gave the idea, but actually, the shachaleyu convinced you that it's a good idea, then he's already done something for the connection that's eventually done. Which is a very fine line. If the first guy is just an idea, then you can choose, as long as there's not remorse, to go with the second guy. But if the first guy not just gave an idea, he actually convinced you to say it's a good idea, Then at the end of the day, you buy it. You can't turn around and say, well, forget you, I would have bought it in any case. No, you actually started some of this digging process. If it wasn't for you, maybe I wouldn't have bought it. Maybe the start wouldn't have been good. And therefore, you would have to pay even the first guy in the air in the beginning. So it's a very fine line, whether it's just an idea or it's already the glue. Says the Shebi Yaakov, I've got a proof to this. His proof is from this week's parsha. When this week's parsha is, he's got a proof. B'nai Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. And who went to get the utmost Yosef? Who went to get this, the bone, Yosef's bones? Who went?
Moshe.
Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. Big mitzvah. Everyone's involved in getting money. He was involved in doing the mitzvah of taking the bones of Yosef to Eretz Yisrael to be buried, which is a mitzvah. It says later on in Novi that Novi says, who buried, who was the zechus of taking the bones out of Mitzrayim? Who does the Tanakh consider what had the zechus of taking Yosef out of Mitzrayim and burying him? What does Nach say? Who had that zechus?
Yeshua gets
the credit. He says, doesn't say Yeshua, he says Klal Yisrael. So the question is, what do you mean? The one who took him out of Mitzrayim was Moshe Rabbeinu. The one who brought him to Eretz Yisrael was Klal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, yeah? So therefore, if you want to say, who took him out of Mitzrayim and buried him at Israel, you should say Moshe and Klal Yisrael, because they both did the job. They did the job together. Says the Shev Yaakov, here's a riot for what my halacha is. It's the mitzvah. It's not called a Moshe. He doesn't, not called his mitzvah at all. Why? Because if Moshe wouldn't have taken the bones out of Mitzrayim, would the bones of Mitzrayim, of Yosef's bones, stayed in Mitzrayim if Moshe wouldn't have done it? Would it have stayed there?
No.
No? Somebody else of Klal Yisrael would have done it. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't needed for the beginning. Because somebody else would also have done the beginning. And since Moshe Rabbeinu didn't finish it off, who finished it off? That's the Klal Yisrael. It's called Klal Yisrael's mitzvah. It's not called Moshe Rabbeinu's mitzvah. So here we see where you don't need the beginning, because even without the beginning, it would still be done. You're not entitled to Shadchanus, says the Atzmon Yisrael, says the Shev Yaakov. Arrive from this week's Pasha. La Nocha, he says. Only like we're saying, if the second guy didn't need the introduction, because he would have also done the introduction, and the introduction didn't do any sticking. There's two conditions. The first guy only introduced and did no sticking at all. And the second guy would have come up with the same idea even without the first guy.
Moshe,
then the first guy is on.
If that's the case, then it's not right at all. Then Mitzvah Nikra Al Hashem Gomro, even if you needed the first guy. It's a Gomorrah. You Mitzvah Nikra Al Hashem Gomro.
No. Because he asks you a question, and he says, it's not true. Because we see who built the base of Mikdash. Who does it?
Shlomo.
What does the Torah say? That who built the base of Mikdash?
David.
It says David HaMelech laid the foundations, yeah. And Shlomo HaMelech built. Why there? David only started. Shlomo finished. You should say the same thing. The whole thing was built by Shlomo HaMelech. You shouldn't say David at all over there. He asked the question. He said, why over there do we say David built it as well? Because there, if David wouldn't have done the foundations, no one knew where the base of Mitzvah was going to be built. Without David and Melech, no one would be able to start the base of Mitzvah, because no one knew!
David and Melech didn't know either.
What?
He needed Nasan and Navi to tell him.
He would not. No, he had a... He had this great rotson in his ovens and he wanted to know. It was because of David's Melech that we know where to put the base of Midas. Therefore, it was intrinsic. David was needed even when it was finished. You can't say, well, David the Melech would have built this. No, you still need David the Melech. Therefore, the mitzvah is named after David the Melech as well. But with Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't see that. Abimai said, you don't need Moshe Rabbeinu, wherever you don't need the beginning, because it would happen without it, you don't need titles.
But Moshe did do the sticking process, meaning as far as an introduction, he did.
No, everything that he did wasn't necessary. So even without any activity from him, it will still have the same result as Yosef bones being buried in Eretz Yisrael.
So Moshe Chano could argue that too. That I could have introduced him.
But if we don't have any reason why his introduction and actually convincing you to start, you can't say without his permission. Maybe not. Yes, but if no one, because then you Moshe Rabbeinu would do the votes.
Hello.
Okay. That's the Shev Yakis. Comes along, shoots Rabbi Tzaya Vial, and he says like this. Hey, look, a number four. How can you learn how to halacha in Shulchan Aruch Roshem Mishpat Momenus from Medrash Chazals and halachas and mitzvahs of David and Melech and Atzmus Yosef and Moshe Rabbeinu? How can you make halacha based on that? And I don't understand. Hashatkin Yeshua Nami Dinpo. Bechi im Odom. Hamaskel b'mlochel bar achav v'gomer hechyal adash lo yishal n'rishon shlapus ha'mlochto. I don't understand, says Ratzal. Hey, Nochen, I mean, you didn't need this first one because it would have taken place without the first one, because the second one would have done it. But the mice at the end of the day, when you're looking at the sale and the shidduch, who started? Who started? The first guy. Who finished? The second guy. So therefore, in the actual sale, you say, you did, the first guy did do it. He did do it. He did start. Even without him, it could have been that even without him, the second guy would have started. Fine, but he didn't. The Metzias, he didn't. He didn't. So the Metzias, the facts on the ground. The first guy started, the second guy finished. He did work for you. Are you claiming that the second guy could have done the work and he would have done the work? Fine, but that wasn't the facts. Could. Smooth, but he didn't. The first guy did, the second guy did. Did. So therefore you pay for both workers. Split up. So retire. Argues. Revile argues from the Shev Yaakov. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? So Moshe Feinstein says, the halacha is with the Shev Yaakov. Why? Because it's poshut. Why is it poshut? You tell me why it's poshut. Why the Shev the Yaakov is true and it's not a taina from Revile. Revile's taina, look at the Messias. He did it. He started, he finished, he could, smut, but he did it, so you have to pay. If somebody doesn't work for you, at the end of the day, you can't say, well, I didn't really need it, but he did do it. So therefore, pay. That's Revile's taina. Says Rav Moshe, the halacha of Shev Yaakov, and it's not a kashur svara against the Shev Yaakov from the Revile. Why? You tell me why. Correct. Why?
He's not a poem.
Because he's not a poem. What is he?
He's a kablan.
What does it mean? What's the chiv? We're trying to mechayev him. We're not trying to mechayev him because he's my worker. You have to pay because he's a worker. Why do you have to pay a shatkin?
For the result.
Not for the result.
Agents.
For the better word.
Result.
Service.
The hanok. Yes. You gave me benefit. And I pay. Don't give me benefit. I don't pay. I'm not hiring you. You're doing something for me. You're planting something for me. I don't get benefits. I pay. If I don't, I don't. I'm not asking you to do the job. Okay. If I'm not asking you to do the job, I'm only paying because of the hanok. It's very poshut. You, the first guy, you gave me benefits at the end of the day. You benefited me? No! You benefited me nothing. The second guy did all the everything. Without you, I could have had the same result. The chiv is cause of the result. You caused the result, then you get paid. You didn't cause the result, you don't get paid. You're not a worker. Worker gets paid even if there's no results. You just did the job. Here, He gets only paid if he calls the Ritzach. He didn't call the Ritzach. The second guy calls the Ritzach. Therefore, the halach is, if the first guy only made the idea without any sticking, and the second guy gave an idea, he came up with the same idea, and he's that, then of course, the halacha says Rav Moshe is to go like the Shev Yaakov, that only the second guy gets the shout from him.
Would it be different if the first guy took it to a problem?
Yes, because then we're ready now in the doubt that he's not only introduced, but he actually started sticking. Yes, yes, because the way he's bringing him around, the way he showed things already, when he's speaking, that's already part of the sticking process. That is already in a doubt. Maybe he's actually stuck, and maybe it's necessary even for the real deal at the end. Therefore, I want to make a warning to everybody. When it comes to the Shadchanus and Agent Feast, since we see from this particular Shaila, there's a fine line to paying and not paying, based on very fine halachas and mitzvahs or the facts on the ground, don't be too quick to pay. Be quick to pay, because the halacha of paying your workers. But don't be quick to pay the wrong guy. So how do you do that? If there's always two people involved, and there's a vikulah, say to them, here, money, based in, you go to Beis Din, sort it out between you in this Beis Din. I'm out of the picture. I paid my chiyuv. I've done my duty by putting it in the Beis Din. Who will decide who has the right for money? But don't end up paying the guy who you think is the job, because you may end up having to pay again and chasing your money from the other guy, which is not bad. Sometimes they're considered, if they're workers, meaning that sometimes it can start off, they are the beginning of the job is they're offering an idea, so if their payment is only if I cause the benefits, and therefore the paying on time doesn't apply to them in that way. But if I ask them to continue and work for me to continue sticking, then in the second chelik they're considered workers. So you can have one job where the part of the payment is because of benefits, and part of the payment is because of workers. And therefore you would, on the second part, have to pay on time. So, we're running out of time, and I'll just leave you with the shayla for you to think till next week. The shayla is like this. Came to Bristol. Shadchan sees a wonderful boy, and he's got a good girl for her, for him. So he starts the process off, and they go out, and it's going well. It looks like there's going to be a good result. Then there's a big gevir from Chutz Ha'aretz that comes to Eretz Yisrael and says, "I'm looking for a top-notch chosen." He tells the Shatzkin. Shatzkin's in his top-notch chosens. He hasn't got much top chosens on the caliber which the Gvir is looking for, besides the one who's already going out with the Shidduch. What does he do? Great idea. Lemaisa, this is what happens. He phones up the chosen site and said, "The girl's not too interested. She's got sveikas. She doesn't want to go further with the Shidduch." He phones up the Kala side and says, "The Chosen, he's not ready for this type of Shidduch. It's too much for him. He's not interested anymore. Maybe later it'll work out." He breaks the Shidduch.
Wow.
In order that the Chosen should now be free to go out with the Gevir's daughter. Why? Because the Gevir's daughter, much more money. From the Shad Chomis.
It's not a fixed fee.
No, because the Gevir says, if you get me this top notch, Chosen, I'll pay you good. Okay? So, then he rearranges the Shidduch with the top notch Chosen and the Gevir, and it doesn't go good. And it doesn't work. Then the Chosen's thinking, you know what? As of all the girls I've gone out with, the best one was the last one. Maybe she'll be still interested. Maybe things have changed. And the girl's thinking the same. They said, "I've all the Shidduch, it was the last one." So they reconnect, not through the Shadchan, but through themselves. And they get engaged, and now the Shadchan's in Beis Din.
He's
saying, why are they getting engaged? engaged because I introduced them. I'm entitled to Shadchanus. They say, what do you mean? You split us up.
He should get one third.
So he's entitled to any Shadchanus, some Shadchanus, or all the Shadchanus. Think about it for next
week. He's entitled to all the Shadchanus, but then they're entitled to the hezek he caused by splitting them up.
And why hezek? You have to think about it next week.
Why don't we take into account with the agent, the minute of the first agent? The problem is that
you can't push them away.
It's just the din of the halakha. Just one more.
If you push choosing the second agent, halakha is the first agent comes, you push the choosing. Because he takes the halakha. If you push him away for no good reason to go to the second guy, then it's Ramos. That's
what you're talking about. Even if you have a good reason.
No.
Unless I'm defective or something.
Yes, that's my good reason. But my good, what's called a good reason? It's because I don't feed you. Do a good job.
No.
I've got experience that you don't
often,
do a good job.
Most often the reason they
do is... I don't...
Most often the reason they go to the other guy is because you offer them a lower price.
That's a good reason.
But by Bina Gersokum, it's not.
It's Bina Gersokum is only by Kinyonim. What's Machayim? What's Machayim? What's the halakha? I can't even ask you. What's Machayim?
Marcus.
Is it shut?
Oh.